I'm going to warn you before we read this morning that there's going to be lots in this passage that you're going to have questions about. I'm not going to answer many of your questions. In fact, I'm probably not going to answer any of your questions this morning. We're going to get the big idea of what the passage is saying. If you're filled with loads of questions about the passage to read, I'm afraid you're going to have to come to home group on Tuesday or Thursday night to have a chance to ask your questions. But some parts of it are very complicated, difficult to understand. But we want to get once we get the big picture of what it's all about, then it might help us to think about those more difficult questions as well. So it's 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 8. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. We're going to end the reading of God's word there this morning. Future plans affect present behavior. It happens in all kinds of areas of life. If you're planning on moving house, you don't start replacing the appliances that you have in your present home. You start to think about the colors and the furnishings of your new home. If you're thinking of changing your car, well, you don't get work done to it that you might have to do if you're planning to hold on to it for another couple of years. If you're training for some kind of sporting event, you're going to have to train and watch your diet. You see, future plans affect present behavior. And in this passage that we read this morning, Peter is outlining the kind of life the follower of Jesus is to live. And our present behavior is to be molded by our future plans. It's because of our hope in the Lord Jesus and the future world that he will usher in that we're encouraged to live differently in our daily lives. You see, as followers of Jesus, we're first of all called to be a blessing. Blessing seems to be a key theme in these verses. In verse 9, we're told not to repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. You're to do this, we're told in verse 9, so that you may inherit a blessing. And we're told in verse 14 that if you suffer for doing good, you are blessed. The Christian is called to be a blessing. We see in verse 9, to this you were called. When you were called to follow Jesus, you were also called to be a blessing to others. You were called to turn away from living with yourself at the center of life to live a life that's first oriented towards God and then towards others. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're called to be a blessing. Now, if you're to be a blessing to others, it means that you need to live differently on the outside. That is, your outward actions will need to be different to the behavior of many people around you. In fact, different to the way that you might naturally behave otherwise. Peter writes in verse 9, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult." You see, that's what's normal, isn't it? Repaying evil with evil and insult with insult. It happens all of the time. There might be a group of girls in school who talk meanly about one another. So what do those girls do that have been spoken about badly? Well, they do the same thing back. They speak badly about the girls who have spoken badly about them. Maybe in the workplace something is said by a manager that questions the quality of your work. You're hurt by what has been said. And when you next speak about your manager, I'm pretty sure you'll speak negatively about them. If we feel that we've been insulted, we respond with insult. If we think wrong has been done to us, naturally we want to pay back the person for the wrong that they've done to us. But the follower of Jesus is not to repay evil with evil or insult with insult. And Peter appeals to Psalm 34 to give weight to his argument. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. The follower of Jesus is not to use their tongue to insult others, to tell lies about others, to gossip about others, to put other people down or to attack their character. No, instead, what should be on the lips of the followers of Jesus is blessing, wanting what is best for others. Now, maybe you're thinking, I can't. How am I to bless those who insult me? And you're right, you can't. You can't live differently on the outside unless you have been changed on the inside. Go back to verse 8. "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble." If we're going to live differently on the outside, we need to first be changed on the inside. We need to be those who love harmony and peace more than we love having our own way. Now, of course, everyone will say they want peace and harmony until having peace and harmony means not getting what you want. Then peace and harmony are thrown out the window because what we want most is to have our way more than we want peace and harmony. We need to have sympathy. We need to be able to put ourselves in the place of others, to understand what it is like to be them, to put ourselves in their shoes. Rather than it just being about the wrong that was done to me, I can put myself in the place of another and understand how they feel. We need brotherly love. It appears that Peter is talking about the Christian community. He's not just talking about peace and harmony out there in the world, but peace and harmony in here in the church. Repaying evil for evil and insult for insult can happen, does happen within the church. And when it does, we have lost our sense of brotherly love, that we are part of the family of God. We need to have compassion, a concern for others that moves us to action, and humility, not thinking that we are better than others. And when we have been changed on the inside, we live differently on the outside. if we love peace and unity, if we have sympathy, brotherly love and compassion, if you don't think that you are better than others, you won't repay evil for evil and insult with insult. The fact that you've been changed on the inside enables you to live differently on the outside. Because you have been called to be a blessing. And you can be a blessing because of your hope. Look again at verse 9. Do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. I'm sure you've all heard of delayed gratification. None of us are good at it. Putting off a good thing now so that you can have a better thing later. Well, that's what Peter is pointing us to here. He points us forward to our future inheritance. The inheritance that he told us in verse 4 of chapter 1 is kept in heaven for you. It's because of this hope that we have in Jesus that we have something better coming that we can do without something that we might like now. Instead of seeking to repay evil with evil and insult with insult, we're looking forward to that day when we will inherit a blessing. Suppose someone borrowed a small amount of money from you that they hadn't paid back. But you know that you will soon receive an inheritance that so far surpasses the money owed to you that it's not even worth thinking about. Well, that's Peter's argument. The day is coming when the Lord will vindicate all wrong, and because of that, we don't need to repay wrong done to us now. Instead, we can be a blessing just as we were called to be. As followers of Jesus, we're told we are to be prepared to give a reason for our hope. Now, I think here Peter most likely has in mind those who are going to have to give an account of themselves in some formal kind of setting. Maybe they've been accused of wrongdoing and are brought before the courts, and they have to explain what they've done and why they've done it. The apostles did that many times in the book of Acts. When they stood trial, they gave an account of themselves, explaining what they had done, why they had done it, that it all related to their faith and hope in the Lord Jesus. But we too might find ourselves in everyday situations where we're asked by friends, by work colleagues, by family members, what we do and why we do it. Why is it that you go to church every Sunday? Why do you place so much importance on what the Bible says? Why do you call yourself a follower of Jesus? And when we're asked those kinds of questions, we need to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. We need to be able to explain who Jesus is, why Jesus came, and to explain what he has promised for all who'll put their trust in him. Now, if you're to do that, you must value Jesus more than others. Peter writes in verse 13, "Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord." You see, at that point that someone asks you a question, it's easy to be filled with fear. What will my friends think of me? How will this affect my relationships at work? Will my family think that I've lost the plot? And those fears can rule over us. But we're not to let fear rule over us because Jesus rules over us. Peter says, in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Don't be frightened. Even if you end up suffering in some way because of what you've said, you are blessed. We need to value Jesus more than we value others, more than we value our friends, more than we value our family, more than we value our work colleagues. But did you notice how we're to do this in verse 15? We're to do this with gentleness and respect. We're to treat others with respect. It's not about winning an argument. It's not about proving that you are right. It's about sharing our faith and hope in Jesus in a way that might draw others to know and love him. So it's to be marked by gentleness. It's to be marked by respect. And that means listening to others, responding to their questions, thinking about their objections, asking them what they believe and why they believe it. It means not having a superior attitude to other people, as though we have it all right and they have nothing right. Not looking down on others and not thinking that we are better than others. And we're to treat others with respect, even when we are not. Look at verse 16. We're to speak with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously about your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than doing evil. When that opportunity comes to share your faith and hope in Jesus, it doesn't mean that that person is going to immediately be receptive and open to what you say, that they're going to put their trust in Jesus. In actual fact, they may pull further away from you. They may try to misrepresent you to others and say things that are not true. But guess what? You are to treat them with gentleness and respect, even when they do not treat you in the same way. Because Peter says it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. As followers of Jesus, we are called to be a blessing because of the hope that we have. We're called to be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. And finally, as followers of Jesus, Peter reminds us that we have been baptized into Christ. Now, immediately we're drawn to the statement in verse 21 that baptism now saves you also. And we react to say, no, it doesn't. Baptism doesn't save us. Jesus saves us. So what does Peter mean? Well, in some older and more traditional wedding vows, a phrase was often included. These words were said, "With this ring, I thee wed." Now, of course, the wedding ring was only a symbol of the marriage. It wasn't the action which brought about the marriage. And in a similar way, Peter speaks about baptism doing the thing which it actually symbolizes rather than achieves. But it does make something clear that we too easily ignore. Peter's assumption is that every follower of Jesus has been baptized as a follower of Jesus. Peter has no category for an unbaptized Christian. That's why he relates baptism and salvation together so closely. Too often, too many put off baptism as something for the future. Maybe until they think that they have reached a certain stage in the Christian life. Like some kind of strange couple who get married but decide not to wear rings until they're sure if they're really committed to one another. But baptism is the beginning of this relationship with Jesus. And when someone has genuine faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, they should seek to be baptized as a follower of Jesus. Because as you're baptized as a follower of Jesus, you are demonstrating your hope. Peter compares baptism to the flood waters in the time of Noah. Those who trust in Jesus are compared to the 8 people who survived the flood in the ark. They got inside the ark, knowing that God's judgment was coming on their present world. and believing that God would bring them safely through the flood water into the new world that he had promised. By getting on that ark, they demonstrated their hope in God's promise. Now, Peter says baptism is like that. Baptism is a demonstration of your hope that God will bring you safely through judgment into the glorious new world that he has promised. Your hope is that he will bring you to God. Verse 18. Now, in Peter's letter, he almost always has in view our future salvation. Other parts of the Bible will emphasize our present salvation, that we have been forgiven by God, that our relationship with God has been restored, that we enjoy fellowship with God here and now. But Peter almost always is thinking of our future salvation when Jesus returns. And that's what Peter is saying. Baptism demonstrates your hope that Jesus will bring you to God, into this glorious new world that he has promised. And here's why it can happen. Verse 18. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God. You see, the judgment that we deserved fell on Jesus instead of us. He was righteous, yet he was treated as though he was unrighteous. We are unrighteous, yet we are treated as though we are righteous. And that can only happen because Jesus took the judgment for our sins upon himself when he died on the cross. As followers of Jesus, you have been baptized into Christ, demonstrating your hope that he will bring you to God because he has conquered all the powers of death and hell and sin. That's why Peter ends this section in verse 22. He brings us through that complicated section of Jesus having died and been raised from the dead and then going to preach to some people who were held in prison since the time of Noah. But here's how it ends up in verse 22. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. You see, we have this hope because Jesus is already seated at God's right hand. We have this hope because all angels, authorities, and powers are in submission to him. And it is this hope that enables us to be a blessing to others, to not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, because we know that Jesus has conquered all the powers of evil and that we will inherit a blessing. That's what enables us to give a reason for the hope that we have, with gentleness and respect, even when others speak badly about us, because Jesus has conquered all the powers of evil. And we look forward to a day when Jesus will return and he will vindicate his people. But until that day, when Jesus comes again, we're to seek to live as followers of Jesus. We're to speak of the Jesus that we follow because of this hope that is in us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this hope which we have. A hope that because Jesus has died and risen again from the dead, that he will bring us to be with you. That just as those people were brought safely through the floodwaters into the new earth, that one day you will bring us safely through your judgment into your glorious new world. Oh, Father, may that fill us with a joy and a hope and an expectation that enables us to live differently here and now, that even when others mistreat us, that we can still be a blessing to them, that we would not be those who seek to repay those who do evil to us, but that our longing instead would be to be a blessing to them. Pray for those who are gathered here, that even in the week ahead, if there are people who ask them questions about their faith or their hope in the Lord Jesus, that you would help them to know how to respond, to be able to point to the Lord Jesus and all that he has done for them. But Father, we pray that you would fill us with such a sense of this glorious future that we have, that you might help us to live as your followers here and now. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.